these fabulous beer people here. We are pouring beers for them blindly. You and the audience get to try the beers as well. And then everybody gets to guess what it is. I think that's pretty easy, right? Everybody's got
Sounds
it?
Sounds awesome.
All right, you want to introduce who we have going
well,
on?
Well, we got Dave Coleman, who's one of the founders of Three Star Brewery.
Woohoo!
Seriously, all these guys make great beer. If you haven't had Three Star, when this is over, get some, because it's good. Where's Allison?
Allison's right next to me.
Allison Lang is not,
her.
She's not just a beer brewer at Port City. She's a scientist.
Woo.
All right?
We're going to find out.
So wait. If you have, she was studying the properties of yeast, right, before you became a brewer?
I was a biochemist, and I was using yeast as my model system.
That was the yeast she could do, and she did
it.
God
bless her. Sounds very serious. You sound very, very serious.
That's
right. We're going to have to get some more beer
in
her.
I'm fun, too.
Okay, good. Good to hear. All right. So, Teddy Folkman. Y'all know Teddy Folkman, chef and beer aficionado. Granville Moores.
Now, wait. Teddy bats right and left. He's not just a beer meister. He's a great chef. I didn't say you play both ways. I said you bat left and right.
He is also the founder of DC Beer Week. We're going to find out about that later.
Ooh.
Bill Madden is here. You know him from Mad Fox Brewery.
All right. Now, Bill got his brewer's degree at UCal in 1995, so he's one of the deans of the local brewing community. Aren't you, Billy?
Big Papa.
Just means I'm old.
That's right.
Oh, no. Okay, and lastly, we've got Jeff Hancock, DC Brow. You all know who they are. Big, huge DC brew guys. All right. So let's find out a little bit about everybody today. Teddy, let's start about you. You started this incredible beer program at Granville Moores a couple years ago. I mean, why beer? How did you get into it?
Well, actually, the basis of that program was started off by Joe Englert and Chris Ceresco. Chris is a longtime friend of mine, one of the best beer guys I know in the world. And so basically the concept was to bring to D.C. a very relaxed environment that you can enjoy really fine beers in, especially Belgian beers. There wasn't a lot of Belgian beers on the scene at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's progressively grown into not only just Belgian beers, but also really great American craft beers and some of the best beers around the world.
And what about D.C. Beer Week?
And collaborations, yeah.
Right. I mean, so let's talk about D.C. Beer Week because you're one of the founders of it. I mean, why do that?
I mean, actually, I thought all of us here are a big part of D.C. Beer Week. It's not just one person. It's this whole huge network of people
that
really run
it. It's a whole week of drinking beer, and you have an excuse.
Yeah, this year it's August 17th through the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a celebration of craft beer across Washington, D.C. and the metropolitan area. We basically started it to just bring attention to D.C. and the growing craft beer scene here. Either it's craft beer enthusiasts, brewers, everything. And it's just grown from something that was really small and fun with a couple people to a 200-plus event. 200 plus event week.
Who here has participated in DC Beer Week, right? Everybody? If you haven't done it before, you need to do it this year. So much fun. All right. We are going to get to tasting this first beer before we find out more about everybody on the table because we don't want it to get warm, right? We want it the right temperature. Greg Nivens, I need your bod, man. Get over here. Put that on. So give a little 411 without giving anything away of what we're all tasting. People in the audience who have some of the beer.
Wait, just so you know, Greg, this is Greg's event. Greg is the CEO of Trigger Agency. They put on all of these great food and wine festivals around the area. They just did the big one at National Harbor.
Did everybody get some beer? Who didn't get some beer? All right, we're going to get some beers to you guys so you guys can all taste this, okay?
Beer.
Or you can come on up here and we'll pour you a little bit of beer.
Yeah, I'll send the guys around. Go ahead.
Okay, and so what are we looking for? Tell us. Don't tell us what it is. Just give us a hint.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you any hints.
No hints.
No,
nothing?
God, no.
All right.
Not on this one. God, this is a normal beer from, God, if I say anything, it's going to give it away to probably some of these guys. I don't know how sophisticated they are.
Come on now.
This crew?
Sophisticates.
Okay, great.
Yes. So if I tell you what this is from a, this comes from an. It comes from a brewer that is on the forefront. Been around for a while.
How's that for a non-hint?
Okay,
there
you go.
All right. Well,
it's been around for a while, and it's a part of the craft scene, and they're leaders in the marketplace. What can
right.
I tell you? They're great people. They're nice people.
Great. All right, Dave Coleman. I'm going to start with you. You think you already know what it is? So, first of all, Dave, tell us what we need to do in order to taste a beer correctly.
I know who it is.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to give you the layman's version. It's basically what you want to do is you want to take a look at the color. Basically, all the color comes from the different malts and grains that are used in brewing beer. Lighter malted barley gives you a lighter color. Some darker roasted malts are going to give you some darker color, give you a little bit more sweetness, some of your flavor profiles. What you want to do is you want to check out what it looks like, just like food. You want to smell it, enjoy that note, that big malt on this one, and then get to drinking.
All right. So let's do that. All right. So, Allison, what do you think it is?
Well, it definitely is very malt forward, has a really big caramel aroma. Mm-hmm. Maybe a brown from... I don't know about the brewery. I think it's going to have to pass on to you, Jeff.
Okay, Jeff, DC Brow, what do you think?
Definitely echo what Allison and Dave said. It's definitely really malt forward. Hops are probably more complimentary. They're definitely not the star here.
Why are you guys so afraid to say a name? Come on, Jeff.
Brooklyn Brewery, brown ale.
Yeah, I'm going with Brooklyn. But I saw like an improperly duct taped bottle earlier. So I can't claim that it's sensory. Just putting that out there.
Loving the honesty.
Okay.
All right, not Guinness.
Okay, so were they right? That's right.
Brooklyn Brewery Brown Ale.
All right, there we go.
That's right. Here we go.
All right. Well.
Cheers, brother.
Really, did they really do it by profile, or is it just the bottle?
Huh?
No. I did it by profile.
No, by profile. Really.
No, Jeff did it by cheating.
He's judging.
All right. Well, while Greg is getting the next beer, Dave, let's go over to you and find out about Three Star Brewery, because you did not start out as a brewer, but you got into it, and now you have, you know, a really well-known D.C. brewery. Tell us a little bit about it.
So my partner, Mike McGarvey, and I, we started as home brewers. I was running the beer program at the Big Hunt for about 10 years, which is a little local craft beer bar, dive bar in DuPont Circle. And Mike and I started being home brewers as a hobby, and we started making some good beers and started asking ourselves if we could get out of our day jobs by pursuing a dream. So that's where Three Stars was founded.
And where is, like, tell people what kind of beers, a little bit about the profiles of beers that you're making.
Okay, so Mike and I like to make beers that are kind of out of bounds. We like to push the limits on what traditional is. We've released over 35 different styles in the past 22 months. So we're under 2 years old and have released many, many styles. We do saisons. We do big imperial porters. We do basically anything with a lot of complex flavors, hopefully high alcohol in the fall and winter, and kind of more session-y in the summer, so you can crush a lot.
All right, good. All right, so there you go. That's about Three Star. Bill, we're going to move over to you. Bill, tell us a little bit, while Greg is pouring our next beer, tell us a little bit about Matt Fox and a little bit about your history, because it is really interesting.
Okay, Matt Fox Brewing Company, we opened in July of 2010. We're about to celebrate our fourth year anniversary this summer. Very proud about that. I've been brewing in this area for, it'll be 20 years in 2015. I started out with Capital City Brewing Company right out of brewing school at UC Davis. Brewed for them. I was their executive brewer for about 10 years. Bounced around the area for a little bit. Reopened or recommissioned the brewery at Vintage 50 out in Leesburg.
Thank you.
While I was developing our business plan and working with my business partner, Rick Garvin, to get a whole group of investors, and that's how we pulled together Mad Fox Brewing Company. The name Mad Fox Brewing Company, or Mad Fox, my last name is Madden, so I have the honor of being the mad part.
Okay.
And my wife's maiden name is Fox, so that's where Mad Fox comes from.
A real coupling. All right, so Bill, why don't you walk us through this beer that Greg just poured for us. Did everybody get beer in the audience? Everybody got a little beer? It's on its way. Raise your hand if you don't have any.
That's Guinness.
Okay, done. Done and done. No, nothing? That's it?
No, that's pretty obvious.
That's it. It's Guinness.
Oh, my God.
I'm down with this. It's an
Irish
style.
You don't want a hint? You don't want a hint on this
no,
one?
No, no.
Let me give you a hint.
Is it from Ireland?
I can't tell you that, but I can tell you when you go and you get this beer, you can see God's steps very close by.
Could you be at St. James's Gate?
No, you would not. But that's the only hint I'm going to give you. I can't believe
they
go straight to Guinness. That's just unbelievable.
Am I wrong?
No.
No, you are correct. You are correct. That's dead on. Okay, fine.
All right, how many out there knew what it was?
How many people knew? All right.
Wait. There is no Maserati. So how many people really knew it? All right, good for you.
Okay, great.
You should all be very worried that you knew what it was.
And that's the extra stout, isn't it?
Commercial bar?
No, not yet.
I can't see what
we're good. So,
yeah, it's the extra stout.
Allison Lang, let's talk to you a little. You were a scientist for real down at Emory, correct?
I was, yep.
How do I know that? Because I talked to you. So, what you were studying the properties of yeast?
I was. I was studying something called nuclear transport in yeast. It's a basic fundamental process. But the cool part is that
really, really basic.
The cool part is that we were using yeast, and everybody knows the best thing you can do with yeast is make beer. And so I eventually have transitioned into making beer.
Were you making beer while you were a scientist?
On the side, but not with our lab yeast.
Okay. So now that you're with Port City, let's talk about Port City. Does everybody here know Port City Brewer? You guys familiar with it, right? It's a great brewery.
Yeah, so we're down in Alexandria. We've been around for 3 years. We were actually the first production brewery in the D.C. metro area. We celebrate sort of good, clean beers. We just came out with a new one called Ways and Means I'm really excited about, which is a session IPA.
And tell us a little bit about the beer profiles that you guys do. Like, talk about them.
So we have our five flagships that we always try and do really clean. Mm-hmm. And then we do a Colossal Series, which is all of our anniversary beers. We always try and do something bigger and more and different. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a pilot system where we try out new stuff. And so a couple of our new brewers, Adam and Josh, just came out with a black IPA they're really excited about. That was their first beer, so we were really proud of them.
Well, let's talk about the profile of an IPA. I mean, what is an IPA for people who are not familiar with it?
IPAs tend to be really big. They tend to be hoppy beers. That hoppy can mean a lot of different things. It can be floral, it can be citrusy, it can be tropical. Mm-hmm. It can even be dank, so it can have onion or garlic flavors to it. Mm-hmm. But they tend to have a lot of aroma, sort of a lighter style.
Is there a particular IPA style that you prefer?
I'm partial to big double IPAs, which Dave Coleman is probably proud of because he brought us one this morning.
Oh, okay. And what makes it a double IPA? Is it a double the hops? Is that what it means?
Generally, it means that it's higher ABV, but also tends to be hoppier as well.
Okay, great. All right, well, we are going to pour our next beer, and while that is happening, we're going to take a quick break. So this is David and Nikki Nellis. Let's get a big round of applause. We got more beer on the way.
Let's hear it for beer.
David and Nikki Nellis with Beauty and the Beast. We'll be right back.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Discover what it takes to become a pilot at the National Air and Space Museum's Stephen F. Udvar-Hazy Center in Chantilly, Virginia. Join them for the 10th annual Become a Pilot Family Day and Aviation Display. See dozens of visiting aircraft on display for one day only. Enjoy hands-on activities, story times, and kite flying demonstrations. Saturday, June 14th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., sponsored by Booz Allen Hamilton. WTOP is a proud media sponsor. Visit airandspace.si.edu. For details.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Do you want to do more to help people in our community? United Way of the National Capital Area is gearing up for Do More 24, a one-day online fundraiser. On June 19th, you'll have 24 hours, starting at midnight, to give where you live and donate to the causes you care about. So on June 19th, go to domore24.org and donate to the nonprofits that serve the region. Get more info at domore24.org.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis at 1500 AM. Can I get a Baba Booey?
No.
Thank you very much. Just trying to get on somebody else's radio show.
Baba Booey.
All right, so guys, before we...
Nikki.
All right, relax yourself down here. It's so bad. All right, so before we get to tasting this beer, real quick, you know, craft beers, I think everybody knows now. I mean, they're, you know, in the house and folks just making their beers in the early 1990s. And then you started to see some like Ankerstein come out of San Francisco and all that. Now, craft beer is the thing. what do you make of it? Where is it going to go? Is it just going to be many more different kinds of innovations in craft beers, or is it going to go to some other place?
I think you're going to see it go both ways. I think a lot of people are going to stick with tradition and continue to brew traditional styles, and I think that there's another class or breed or group of craft breweries that are always going to be looking to push the envelope, try new things, try to use new ingredients.
Did you say craft breweries or craft brewers?
Here you go.
Craft breweries, yeah, either way.
Jeff, what do you think? I mean, how do these small craft breweries grow without sort of, what's the difference between selling out and keeping your integrity? How does that work?
It's definitely more, I think, of a finer line between, like, selling out and not selling out. I mean, a lot of the craft beer consumers these days, I mean, people are looking for more locally produced goods, fresher products that aren't shipped across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely demand for it. And I guess, I mean, maybe one could measure selling out by someone's beer getting so popular that, you know, they want it to reach a broader audience. Or,
that's
you know,
the definition of success, not but, selling out.
Through
right,
more
but that's
distribution
not
channels.
But you know what? But you don't understand what I mean. Like, this is a business. You do want to make money. So how do you find that balance?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, I think for us at DC Brow, it's just about sticking to your roots, you know, and not changing, and you know, essentially brew the beer that you want to drink. And mm-hmm. Luckily, there are a lot of palates out there, you know, and you're typically going to find some people that like the stuff you make, and you know, hopefully, you can expand on that.
All right. Well, here's the question: Can with so many breweries popping up, at some point is it going to be, you know, is the marketplace going to be so crowded that new guys won't be able and women won't be able to get in?
Well, I think what's going to happen is that you're going to see the people who are doing real innovation and actually producing great quality product. Those are the people who are going to succeed because
it's survival of the fittest.
Yeah, Darwin was right.
Was Darwin right, Allison?
Bill. Darwin was right.
Okay. Darwin was right. Yeah. Then that means
okay,
Darwin
Bill is trying
beer.
To talk. You're that not paying attention.
Doomed.
Go ahead, Bill.
I just think that there is so much in the market right now, and there's so many breweries from all over the country. But I think what's going to be the next phase and what's going to be popular from here on out is going to be hyper-local.
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 Just keeping as close as possible.
As close, because just like Jeff said, it's local. It happened in coffee with coffee roasteries. It happened with wine. Virginia wine's taking off.
Mm-hmm.
And now people want what's local.
Right.
I think there's also so much more room for growth. I mean, craft beer is only 6% of the market right now, so I think there's so much more we can do.
Is that true? It's
only
6%
to go.
Yeah,
exactly.
We have a lot more people to train.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, it just feels like craft beer is every, like, you just hear it so often. It's hard to believe it's such a small percentage. Clearly, yeah. We have a craft beer lover out there.
You better watch.
Absolutely.
Better watch your butt, Budweiser.
All right. Are we ready to try the next beer? Did everybody
get
it?
They've already tried it out there.
Okay, they're done. All right.
Yeah, they've already tried it.
Holy cow.
Okay. So what about when we're looking at a beer? Do we want to, like, do the bubbles count? Does that matter when we're looking at a beer? Does any of that matter when you're trying to figure it out?
No. Well, the carbonation, definitely.
Okay.
Whether it's attacking your tongue, you might have too much carbonation where you're going to get a lot more carbonic acid, for example,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's going to be softer on your tongue, less carbonation, and
okay.
that's going to affect the flavor as well.
Okay.
And the body.
Well, Ben, since you're already talking, why don't you tell us what you're tasting here in this beer?
What I'm first off is the aroma,
mm-hmm.
and we all were talking about that a little bit. It kind of smells a little bit like an 80s perm.
I think it smells like honey. Does anybody smell honey? I smell honey. Okay, good. We got some honey in
there. Wait, what kind of guy goes around smelling perms?
I lived through the 80s, that's all.
I think you changed the M to a V and you got something there.
All right, Teddy, what about you, dude? What do you taste?
I mean, everybody likes certain things and doesn't like certain things, but I am picking up some citrus notes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely more of the common taster here. I'm not a brewer or anything like that, but... yeah, I tasted citrus notes. I'm not gonna taste again.
Okay. Well, it tastes like soda to me. It's very carbonated. Does anybody else get that?
Soft bubbles.
Is that what it is? All right. So, do we have any calls? Do we have anybody who thinks they know what it is?
It makes me sad.
Okay. Let's
yes.
hear. All right. Let's hear it, Jeff.
I got definitely more of like a Belgian kind of yeast profile. It's like some mild spice going on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like. Not necessarily a coriander or an orange peel, but just kind of spiciness as a whole.
Uh-huh.
I would definitely go with, like, it's either a wit beer or kind of like a saison, I want to say.
Okay, but whose?
Boulevard.
Okay. Allison, what about you? What are you thinking?
I like the Boulevard pull.
Okay.
And I agree on sort of the saison. There's sort of some notes there that I agree with. I'm not sure about the company.
Somebody's breathing into their mic.
Okay.
Stop breathing.
Okay.
sounds like a train.
Bill, what about you? Do you have any idea whose it is?
No clue.
No clue? All right, Mr. Coleman.
I'm going to call it. Wait a minute. Sierra Nevada.
Dave Coleman? All right. What about in the audience? Anybody? What do you think? No? Anybody? Greg? Anybody right? What do we got?
I'm actually in shock. This is an unfiltered beer.
Okay.
It's from the Midwest, which we thought would actually throw some people, but somebody knows their Boulevard because this is Boulevard unfiltered wheat beer. I think he's just been looking at the boxes and the glasses, the bottles. This man studies bottles as well.
No, I don't think that's it. I think Jeff Hancock spends way too much time with beer.
That could be it. That could be
it. Not a problem.
It's
a profession.
Very possible.
All right, well, we're going to go. Wait a second. How are we for time? Tim, what do we got?
We still got it to 6-7 minutes.
No, did we miss a commercial break? We missed it?
No,
we're good? Okay, well, then let's go on. All right, so we're going to get our next beer.
Amateur radio
but
at work here.
I really hate when you do that. I hate that. Okay. I think that's obnoxious. Okay, so, Allison, let's talk about being a woman up here on stage with all these guys. How hard is it for a woman to break into the brewing business?
It's not so bad at all. Pretty much everybody in the brewing industry has gotten there because they love beer, and I love beer too, and so we always have something to talk about. But everybody's been really great, really welcoming. And basically, if you can get the job done, nobody cares if you're a woman.
Okay. There's just not a lot of women doing it.
There aren't. And, you know, sometimes it garners you a spot on a panel, which is pretty awesome.
Right, which makes sense. Okay, it looks like we're getting poured a very red
with Allison, here. Did you have trouble with people taking you seriously at the beginning or no?
Not at all, no.
No?
Everyone has always been really great.
Okay, great. All right, well, let's get right to this beer right
have
now.
You guys all got your beer?
That smells like a creek. That smells delicious.
Okay, I know.
Nikki, I think we should reverse this.
Okay.
Because this is kind of a beer that I'm hoping everybody on the panel actually does know what it is.
I know what it is.
The question is do you and David even
know
the style? So that's what you need to do. If you're going to go down here, I think you should ask them.
It's a lambic.
What if they know what it is? Because they can. It's a what?
Well done, lambic.
Lambic.
Good deal. You're good.
Well, yeah, it's a lambic. Right.
David. Yeah.
But which fruit?
They can almost.
Yes, that is the question.
which fruit is it?
Lambic
oh,
is it?
I feel like a gauntlet's thrown down. Okay, let's see. And I really don't drink beer, but let's see.
Cherry.
Cherry or raspberry? Isn't it usually raspberry?
I think it's a creek.
What is a creek?
Creek is a cherry lambic.
Oh, okay. It's a creek.
No, I think it's a St. Louis creek.
Okay, well, wait. Let's go down. So now we know it's a lambic, but let's go down. So we think it's a cherry kind
creek.
Of creek. Okay,
yep.
Why is it called creek? What does that mean?
The lambics are a Belgian style, so they don't speak English.
Oh, so it's a cherry
So
creek.
Everything is a form of a different language of how it is... you know, how you talk about the fruit.
Flemish.
Oh, okay. It's
Flemish.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Okay, great. So now, are there only one or two companies that do this, or are there multiples that do this?
Multiples.
Okay, there's a lot. So do some have different styles than others? I mean, is there something about this one that speaks to all of you on the panel here that you're like, yeah, I know exactly who made this, or are they all so similar that it's hard to tell?
You have blended lambics, unblended lambics, lambics with fruit, typically, the big ones on the market, for those who drink a lot of beer, I mean, you can almost spot them right away, be it a cherry or a raspberry lambic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so when do you order? I mean, you're not going to have a lambic with a sub, and a bunch
sure
of fries.
No, this
oysters and lambic?
This is a great dessert beer,
it's a
actually.
Breakfast and
you guys
lambic.
You guys drink lambics? How many? Raise your hand.
Lambics? Okay, we got lambic drinkers. So, Bill, you were saying, oh, there we go.
There you are.
It's a Creek Lambic.
It's a Creek.
It's a Creek Lambic. Okay, there you go.
It's Lindeman's.
Okay.
That was off.
This is a great dessert beer, and actually this beer is fantastic over vanilla ice cream.
Well, let's
just pour it over vanilla?
Pour it over. Oh, yeah.
For the audience, let's spell Creek, because I was thinking Creek. It's K-R-I-E-K.
Right.
And it's a Lambic.
It's a Lambic.
I'll be done.
Belgian cherry
now,
beer.
I mean, I do a lot of beer and food pairing. I don't do the brewing side. I do the food side of beer. And I would say also that this would pair really well with some sort of spicy fried dessert. I mean, not dessert, but appetizer. Like, even like jalapeno poppers, where you get that spice and that fat and that having that cherry sweetness cut through everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is,
you
know,
pass it around?
A lot to do with appetizers as it is for dessert as well. So
breakfast.
Well, breakfast.
Over ice.
This is the breakfast of champions. Breakfast of champions right here.
No, this is the breakfast for people who aren't doing anything that day.
Well, let's talk about food and beer at this time, because right now you're seeing so many, you know, it just used to be wine and beer, wine and food pairings, period. But now you're seeing so many menus across the D.C. metro area that are really featuring beer. And both, you know, Port City has food, right? Don't you guys have some food?
We don't do food.
You don't do food. I'm sorry. But I know Bill does, and I know that, Teddy, you're doing that. How is that working with people, and how are people, you know, incorporating beer into their with their dining experience?
Well, we use our chef, Brian Wilson, uses a lot of beer in the food cooking process. And he just started with us a couple of months ago, so he's getting himself immersed into the whole beer culture and working more and more beer into the recipes. And we're getting to the point now where he's going to be doing some more beer dinners as well. And that's something we do a lot of, where we pair beers specific with the entree or the food that we're serving up. And they're very, very popular. Mm-hmm. We even do a vegetarian beer dinner, which is one of our more popular beer dinners that we do. Throughout the year.
Sounds good.
And Teddy, what about you? I mean, given that you're the chef at the table, how are you incorporating it?
I mean, I quote Dave Coleman when I say, beer is inherently better with food than wine ever will be.
Yay, Dave Coleman.
That was his quote that he said.
I agree.
But no, I mean, there's a growing fascination, of course, in the interest in craft beer right now, and being able to pair with food. There's so many different variables that you can utilize. I mean, it's not just those couple ingredients that make up a wine. And plus, you know, being able to talk to brewers and breweries, they're more open to sharing their experiences about how they brew the beer, why they brew the beer, the ingredients they used, mm-hmm. why they chose that particular stuff. And you can incorporate that into the dish. So not only the flavor profile, but the story profile. You know, in cooking with beer, beer acts as a marinade. You can incorporate it into sauces. There's so much that you can do with it. It's so versatile. So, yeah, the scene is going to keep on growing. I think people are going to be more and more familiar with beer and food pairings, just as they are when you walk into a restaurant seeing a wine paired with a menu item.
Same thing. All right, great. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do some more beer pairings, beer tastings. We're going to see if we can stump anybody up here.
For
those of you in the audience, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are at Great Taste Tyson. We'll be right back.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn.